but as you can imagine, for the state agents. But you're looking at around 350,000. That's what you're looking at. 350,000. And then you ring up a bank and say, no matter which way you put it, what the market value, and with the 30, maximum of 30%, so you're looking for a mortgage for 300 grand. If the logic of selling these at market value is maintained, and you're looking at about 400 euro a week.
€400 a week.
This is without the service charges, without the additional burden of having to maintain your own flat, and without the additional burden of insurance for the building. Economically, this will not achieve the social goal that it sets out to achieve. I rang up our rent assessment people, and I said, tell me the rent somebody pays a couple with two children on social welfare. €30. If the couple, with one of them is working with two children, how much would they pay? €63. Now, how are we going to move from a position where even a working couple are paid €63 a week and asked to take on, even if we have it, it's still €300 extra. The economics have to be looked at. And the emphasis, I think, has to be placed that this is an attempt to address issues of social disadvantage through a radical housing policy that encourages people. I don't necessarily agree with this, but the composition of the house would suggest that it's a high emphasis on private property and the means of citizenship. I'm suggesting that the economics don't add up. And if we go down the road of relating the cost, the price of the flats to the market value, we will defeat the objective which you set out, which is to address the plight of tenants. And I'd go one better than Councillor Bourg, that it's not just going back to the 88 prices, it's going back to the social cost of not having a radical approach that I would go for. I would go for the minimum cost that is still, in words of the report, protects the council from any possibility of having financial liabilities. That's what I'm saying. And just lastly, the play is on again in the Helix. I want you all there. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's a traveller thing, or is it? Thanks very much.
Councillor Breen. Councillor Breen.
At this stage, Lord Mayor, I'll pass on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mark. Would you wish to speak? Councillor Hedman. Thank you. Now, the first speaker out of 15 is Councillor Mary Murphy.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Like others, I think there is a rationale for the proposals on equity and stability, mixed communities grounds. And I think to the degree that there are implications for the tenants, the report honestly addresses them. I'd like to compliment particularly Claire Feeney on the work she's done. And I do agree that if we are going down the road of selling them, that the objective should be to make sure there's as much equity of access for people, including people on social welfare, to access the purchase of them. So I mean, I would be inclined towards the giveaway. But I would say there are implications for the city, and I think we need to take hold of them for a minute, not argue against it necessarily, but tease out properly. If we were sitting in Galway or Cork, I think we could wade this through without a bother. But the truth is, 16,000 of our stock in this city are the flats we're talking about selling them. We think we'll sell about 5,000 fairly quickly. That's a third of the flats. Now, that has implications for the city, and particularly for the people who are on the housing waiting list in the city. And we know that there's more than 5,000 families on our housing waiting list. So, like it or not, by making the decision to sell off our flat stock, we are putting implications back on the people who are worst off in the city and who are presently homeless. And that's the issue I think we really need to address. The manager mentioned earlier on that the proceeds of sale would of course go towards a place in the housing. That's the way it goes at the moment. If we sell a house anywhere in the city, it goes back into our finance and then government deduct from our finance what they would have given us to build the houses. I'm saying that's not good enough in this instance. This is the capital city. It is in a unique position regarding the sale of flats. We need a ring-fenced, separate housing replacement fund directly linked to the sale of flats, which means that we can replace the appropriate amount of flats that are sold under this scheme. If we don't do that, we are doing injustice, not perhaps to the tenants who want to buy now, but to their sons and daughters in 20 years' time when they look for social housing and there isn't any stock left in the city. So I really think that we can't make this decision without realising there's a long-term impact on our housing stock. We need a separate ring-fenced account. Like Kevin, I do think there's a lot of teasing out we need to do about the shorter-term financial implications for the city as well. We're asking people to take on, as Mick said, a mortgage for the first time and service costs to management companies. We don't know how that will work. And I think we do need in place a contingency fund for any big material sinking fund issues that arise and for any defaulting on the service charges that arise. So I think we're talking about two separate funds needing to be set up properly with agreement of the Department of Environment. I think those issues are so serious that we should ask at this stage formally that the Housing SPC would formally undertake a financial report on the medium and long-term financial implications for Dublin City Council in proceeding with the sale of flats. It's not our call, it's the Department of Environment's call. But we need to do our homework properly so that we're armed with the facts and figures when we go to negotiate with the Department of Environment and possibly the Department of Finance. Lastly, I put a formal proposal that we do that quickly and that we open up negotiations to not only make sure that the present tenants get as good a deal as possible, but that the city gets as good a deal as possible and future generations in the city, their right to housing is also protected.
Councillor Murphy,
Councillor Deola. Lord Mayor, first of all, I'd like to thank Brendan Kenny, as Assistant City Manager, for spearheading this and his department, as well as I must applaud Councillor Mary Murphy, as Chair of the SPC, for keeping this on the agenda. I think for too long it's been allowed to slip off the agenda, and much of that problem was indeed by the Department of the Environment, who failed to make any decision, who failed to cooperate with City Council, and who continued to allow rumours abated within the city. I think this is probably one of the biggest shifts in public housing policy in a generation. I don't think it should be taken lightly. While, of course, I welcome the report and I congratulate the residents, particularly in Ringsend and other areas, who have kept it on the agenda continuously by lobbying local councils. I don't think we should simply wave this proposal through and simply wash our hands in our responsibility for providing homes and housing to people in the city. I think it's a serious shift in public policy that should be taken lightly, and the devil is in the detail. It was on the front of the Irish Times last August, 12 months, that a city manager indicated that any sale of these flats, the money would go to central government. And I think that statement must be retracted. And I think any sale from the sale of these flats, the money indeed, as the previous councillor said, must be ring-fenced and used for further building of units. And indeed, we all know that even from the sale of the flats, to continue to build units in Dublin would be virtually impossible with the funds provided by the sale of these flats. So they also, I believe, that the Department of the Environment have a responsibility to match that funding and to stop taking away our funding as a local authority in the provision of housing is one of the biggest challenges facing the city. So I would argue that when we put forward an argument to the Department of Environment, or a strong submission to the Department of Environment, that we ensure that they match our funding. So if we can continue to rise to the challenge of our statutory obligation in providing homes and houses to those on the waiting list. Because what I don't want to see is while we meet the demand for the sale of the flats in our areas, that we're then dealing with people's children and cousins down the years, and we've no units to provide them with. And also I would argue that the City Council should remain as estate managers for the foreseeable future, because what I don't want to see is private companies coming in, attempting a race to the bottom, with the City Council, becoming estate managers, private companies becoming estate managers, and then we have residents coming to us complaining about the prices they have to pay for estate managers, and they'll be unaccountable, they'll be inaccessible to the City Councillors, and there won't be any transparency, and it won't be answerable to us why the City Council is answerable to the City Councillors. While in relation to the actual sale of the flats and the costings, I think we should get caught in to the debate about market forces. Our job is to provide stable communities and to strengthen the communities that are already in existence. We shouldn't allow the sale of the flats to be simply dictated by market forces. I think it would be wholly unfair to residents who have contributed greatly by paying rent for generations and also contributed greatly to the stability of those communities by simply living and being active in those communities. So in conclusion, I welcome the report. I think the devil will be in the detail. We should use the 12 months as an opportunity for intense consultation with communities, strengthening our communities for when they do buy the flats, resourcing our communities in the foreseeable future, and ensuring that the money is used to replace the units that we're going to sell, but we don't want to allow the sale of these flats to contribute to an already growing housing crisis.
Thank you, Councillor Dillon. Councillor Ayrton.
Yeah, well, Lord Mayor, as one of the working group of this SPC, I think I'm one of the most knowledgeable about this topic in this chamber. In fact, I'm so knowledgeable I didn't have to bring anybody. I didn't have to invite any of my constituents into the chamber because I held all the public meetings, distributed all the documentation. They are the best briefed constituents living in public social housing. But can anybody imagine? Could anybody imagine central government deciding in 1988 to allow local authorities to sell flats? And the council officially, 5 years later in 1993, and apologised to the citizens of Dublin and say, I'm sorry. It might have been pre-election, but geez, we didn't have the legislation to allow you to go ahead. To this very day, watch the cynicism of central government. To this very day, they have not brought in the basic legislation that will empower us as a local authority to sell our flats to our tenants. Watch the cynicism of central government. We as a council announced through the manager in August of 2 years ago. I'm sure the people living in flats must be aghast that we're still debating the issue. We are only debating this issue because we have not yet been given the power, the legislative basis to sell the flats to the tenants. So what has the Fianna Fáil minister decided? He's decided, well look, in the 1st of January of next year, we will allow the sale of flats. Let me warn you, there are very serious implications for the exchequer of this local authority if we do not do it our way. You're going to have a giveaway sale of flats scheme, pre-election, which will result in A, our tenants who are on the highest rental, naturally enough, wanting to leave the local authority, to want to purchase. We will lose their huge income to the coffers of the local authority. They will buy, and the best of luck to them, and we are working all out to give them a great deal. However, no matter how much the government gives away as an incentive to the tenants to buy, we will still have to put into every social flat in this city approximately 1,400 to 1,600 euros into the management committee. In other words, if only 20% of tenants purchase, we will still be left with 80% of tenants. We'll have lost the high income earners. We'll be down with the low income earners who cannot unfortunately afford to purchase. The resultant loss of income to this local authority, plus the fact that for every one of those 80% who cannot afford to buy, we will be transferring the equal to 1,400 to 1,600 euros management charges. The only question I have tonight, Lord Mayor, besides being very cynical about what's going to happen pre-election, and the tenants sitting in the audience may know, I'm going to prophesy. Can I prophesy? You're going to get the best deal ever just before the next general election. However, what we've got to watch is how are we going to replace the loss of income? How are we going to replace the loss of income from the high earners plus the income, the 1,400 to 1,600 euros? And finally, there's that loss. I don't know how we're going to live with that loss, but I want to finally say, and it's left me bloody mind now, I'm sorry about that. In any case, one final thing that I've been pushing, I didn't ask you my last
thing.
One thing I've been pushing diligently with Brendan Kenny is that people who unfortunately have the sons and daughters of our tenants who have had to leave for Meath, for Kildare, for Wicklow in order to buy affordable housing because they wouldn't get a place in the city, that they be allowed to financially assist their elderly parents in the purchase of their flats as a bare minimum. Conclude by saying We might have the best plan in the world here at local government level, but by Christ, we are dependent totally on the Minister for Finance, the Minister for the Environment, who will sell a great deal for 12 months and
leave
it here in the can, because
thank
he won't allow us to put the money back into
Councillor
the capital
Warren.
Of this local authority.
Thank you, Councillor Deirdre. Lord Mayor, firstly, I'd just like to say that contrary to what comments have been made by the Labour Party and the Green Party, I don't believe that there is any shortage of resources for social housing. I think there is a shortage of political courage when it comes to members of this local authority giving the go-ahead to establish social housing in particular areas in the city, and also there is a little bit of a lack of political courage when it comes to giving the go-ahead for high density.
Excuse me, Councillor Lacey, what's
I know on the housing SPC certainly, and the manager put a lot of work into producing the housing action plan over the next couple of years. I do believe that was submitted to the department and that monies are being granted to whatever the wishes of the local authority is. So I think it's a bit of a white elephant to be whinging on about lack of resources from government going into provision of social housing in our own particular area, as I suppose is the case with other local authorities. And yes, as far as I'm concerned, any monies from the sale of flat scheme will be reinvested into social housing. Notwithstanding the fact, Lord Mayor, that I have serious concerns about the sale of flat scheme myself, I have a few questions that I want to ask the manager. I personally feel that, and I have a fear that we're going to end up selling some flats and we're going to end up leaving the local authority with a huge responsibility on behalf of the taxpayer to take up the slack where people fall by the wayside and refuse to pay management charges and refuse to adhere to their responsibilities when it comes to contributing whatever fees are necessary. There are a lot of private management complexes in my own constituency or in my own local area ward where there are serious difficulties arising out of the fact that certain tenants are unwilling to pay their management fees. There's solicitors' letters going from one to the other, and it just causes a great inconvenience to the tenants who do go along and pay their management fees. So, you know, I think that that is a huge concern. It certainly is one of mine, and I would just be very hesitant about going ahead with the sale of flat scheme. But having said that, I just would like to ask the manager a few particular questions. One of the items is that Dublin City Council are going to become management agents until such time as 50% of the flats are sold. I just wonder, what's your thinking behind that, manager? Like, why 50%? Personally, I would feel that the City Council should, you know, pull out sooner, you know, maybe as soon as a sale of 40% or 30%, but I'm not really quite sure where the 50% figure comes from. Are you, will you be acting as agents as on a contract basis with the tenants or with the tenant purchasers, or is it a kind of a free gratis service? I'm not really quite sure what it is there. I'm just wondering, what's the once-off special price? Why is that being offered, including the 30% discount on the price? I don't believe that there was a special price given to first or to the tenant purchase scheme. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I just wonder why that is. Why you're doing that. Also, will there be a clawback? There's no mention of the clawback, as is the situation with affordable housing, whereby if I was to purchase a flat in wherever, whatever city council complex, and I wanted to sell it in 6 months' time, am I allowed to do so in this proposal, or is there some kind of a clawback as a result of the discount on the special proposed price that you're mentioning? There's also a part of it where it's proposed that complexes that are going to be refurbished, that they should not be sold until such time as they're refurbished and then offered at a special price. I just wonder, would it not be better, or, you know, maybe thinking has gone into this, but would it not be better to sell those flats at the market value, at a highly reduced rate, and let either the management company or the tenants themselves get the benefit of that large discount and maybe refurbish the apartment or the flat themselves? I think that's, you know, it deserves some consideration. there's just one other, two other items. One is in the report, it says that the City Council will not be partaking in the upkeep of the common area. I think that's a very good decision, but somehow or another, I do feel that it will fall back on the City Council again, whereby people who have purchased their flats and people who wish to remain tenants of the City Council, that the City Council will end up holding the, will end up having to do all the work for the private and for the tenants themselves. I just have concerns about that. And finally, what or who decides what complexes are to be offered for sale? Do the tenants in these complexes have any say whatsoever? Because from a housing, as a result of the housing conference that we had, or that your SBC had in Croke Park, certainly the tenants that I spoke to there were in no doubt that they wanted Dublin City Council to be their landlord, to continue to be their landlord. So I just wonder, are tenants or the people who are saying that they want to purchase their flats, are they aware that they're going to have to be paying a management fee? Are they happy to do so? I just wonder. And then just the last thing, sorry, Lord Mayor, instead of selling the flats at a very low purchase price, is it possible to sell them at market value with the discounts, and that the City Council would then, say, invest 30% or 40% of that sale price into the sinking fund, because it obviously will demand a huge amount of money to replace or repair roofs or windows or whatever.
Thank you. Before we just continue on, can I just say that we have 11 speakers left. It's nearly 29 minutes past 6. Can I just suggest, if there was less debate across the council chamber, we might be able to finish with the speakers we have. And people are now, I'm now on everybody 2 minutes, which I think is a fair amount of time to put your question. I would be welcome. Councillor Mary Fitzpatrick, thank you. Thank you,
I think this is a very welcome speaking. I think that it comes at the right time to the city. It's appropriate that the City Council should take the lead in encouraging high density living as part of the development plan. Yes. To have a sustainable city, we have to encourage it. There's I think it's very welcome in that it removes the discrimination that exists currently for tenants of Dublin City Council who are resident in flats, and it is time that that was removed. I think that in setting selling price, Dublin City Council should make every effort to assist long-term tenants who have been in place and who have been deprived up until now the opportunity to purchase their home. So I think that the selling price for each unit should not just reflect the current market value, but should also reflect the amount of tenancy. The funds which are generated from every sale absolutely should be ring-fenced for reinvestment in the areas where the properties are sold. I don't think that issue should be debated at all. I think the whole concept of, you know, when people own property, they have more respect for it. And I think Dublin City Council has taken good steps in an organised and programmed fashion to improve many of the existing flat complexes that are in place. But when people will own these flats themselves, they will, I think, even step up again to a higher level of participation with Dublin City Council in making the improvements. I think, from my understanding of the proposal, Dublin City Council will be the management company, in the initial stages, the de facto management company. I think this is welcome, because if anybody in the city is going to have some expertise in the area of management of multi-tenanted facilities on a citywide basis, Dublin City Council should have that expertise. If they have, I think that they have an opportunity now to take the lead in trying to resolve the problem that has emerged in the private property area, and maybe even to a point where, if we get sophisticated enough at providing building management services, that we look at offering those services on a commercial basis to private developments. I think the City Council might do well to look at the cooperative model that exists in New York, where you have tenant owners being members, owner members of the cooperative. The building is operated as a co-op. Apart from, you know, the obvious advantages of being part of the management of the building, it does give the owner members of the co-op the right to veto purchases, units in that building.
And I think that would be very important to ensure that none of these properties that are sold on to property speculators and then, you know, who have no interest in maintaining them or being part of the community or encouraging social inclusion. I just have a couple of quick questions. The manager in his comments in his covering letter said that chances of applicants and waiting lists are not really affected by the salaries of our housing stock, but by the production and acquisition of new dwellings. That to me implies that we're relying on new units coming on stream to house people on the waiting list. And I'd just like a clarification on that. But I'd like to know how will the phasing be determined? I understand that we're going to look at phasing this in across developments across the city. I want to know how will the phasing be determined. How long will tenants have to accept the offer? I think it says 12 months, but I really think we need to, for long-term tenants, put some accommodation in place whereby if they're not in a position to accept the offer in the initial 12-month period, that they can, at later stages, take up the offer. What will the criteria be to qualify? And just in terms of this common area, my understanding is that any management company would be responsible for the common areas. I think it's essential if they're to act as a proper management company. Thanks.
Councillor Gallagher.
Every day, quite a number of people come to me looking to be housed in the Dublin 8 area. It's true that every local authority tenant should be treated equally. But it's also true that local authority dwellings were built for people in need of housing and on the housing list. Local authority dwellings were built before the foundation of the state by the then Dublin Corporation. A large number of comparatively wealthy people are living in local authority dwellings, while there are at least 5,000 people on the housing list. The 5,000 pound grant given some years ago deprived communities of leaders, had a very detrimental effect on the local, on the flats particularly. We're talking about a social mix. That's one of the reasons given for this scheme. Is there a social mix in Elstree Road, in Bonds Bridge? There isn't. I agree with many of the things that Councillor Mary Murphy said, but I believe that what's happening now is an attempt. It's social cleansing, it's class cleansing, it's to get people who are born and our parents and grandparents who are born in the inner city to be moved out because there won't be enough places left to house them. And finally, wouldn't it be much better if some sort of a bonus was given to people who spent all their years paying rent in local authority dwellings rather than selling off the dwellings to people who, in the future, some of whom may sell them. And I can see in the future very little happening on the housing list for people that come to me every day. Finally, very, very last thing is that some flats won't be used at all, they won't be bought in some complexes. But I can think of a number around the Liberties area. I can think of in Mercer Street, Mercer House. They'd be sold off like a flash. And in 10 years, a working class person living in the area.
Thank you, Councillor Desi Ellis.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd just like to thank Brendan Kenny and his staff and the Housing SPC and all those councillors and other groups that have worked towards this over the years. I think it's been raised many, many times, and I have raised it many times in the sale of the Masonettes, and we're making a bit of progress on that. But in Ballymun, we under the regeneration, we 2,400 people being transferred to housing and apartments. The vast majority of them are going to apartments. And it is, you know, these apartments are no different than the apartments just up the road from them that people can buy privately. And there is no reason whatsoever that the tenants cannot avail and buy those apartments. And I do have the question as to what date will they be allowed to buy them from? Because they're new apartments. These people have lived for over 30 years in some cases in flats. And they should be entitled to a very substantial discount. and maybe more than the 30% that's allowed for the 10-year tenancy. And Christy Bourke is right in saying that they weren't able to buy in 1988, and it was an unfair system that was allowed to sit there, that people that had houses could buy them and those in flats couldn't. It was unfair, unjust, and I'm amazed that it wasn't challenged in a way. We were told it was challenged down in Cork in regards to the Masonettes, but it never seemed to materialise into anything. But it is great to see that it is coming. We made Tuesday in regards to the Masonettes.
It doesn't and wouldn't have my political support as we requested in relation to some of the issues. I think the first thing in talking to the residents there this evening was that they really feel that there's a move away from the tenancy purchase scheme and moving to more affordable a housing scheme. And they particularly wanted to raise that point. I think the instance that happened in Dunleary Rathdown, where the tenants took the Dunleary Rathdown council to court in relation to the buyout of their own houses with the tenants purchase scheme, I think is an indicator for this council to look at, where they got the 1983 prices. And I think we should seriously push that from this council, from the point of view that these tenants have a right to purchase and that scheme, and not move and change the goalposts in relation to the right to buy. I do agree that tenants have a right to buy and own their own housing, but I do think that people on the housing waiting list have a right to a house and a right to accommodation, and that I'm really fearful that while it's been made a point in the document that this won't affect the housing stock, it won't affect the amount of housing for people to avail of, it certainly doesn't look like that. I mean, even if we ring-fence the money, where are we going to buy? Where are we going to buy in Dublin City? Have we ring-fenced the fields and the areas and the sites to buy housing? And that's what I'm really concerned about. And those things really have to be looked at before we even step in that direction. Ring-fence the money, okay, but where are you going to buy? They're generally the points I want to make. One last point. I don't support the management fund. I live in Ring Street in Inchicore. I don't pay a management fund to get my street cleaned or my lighting, etc. And why are tenants being asked now to change their circumstances and their social conditions when mine are still the same? I don't agree with that, and I think it's huge implications. I've seen the management schemes and other private apartment blocks around the city, and they don't work, and they're not working very effectively, and they lose money that these management groups pull out and leave the area isolated and people left alone to try and deal with the issue. It's the responsibility of the city collectively to provide services, and I don't support the community for that point of view as well.
Thank you, Councillor Collins, for you. You have 2 minutes as well. Councillor Smithers.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm going to keep it short because I'm not going to repeat it. But just in relation to ring fencing money, for every flat sold, another unit should be built or purchased to keep a stock replenished. And that should be a guarantee from the City Council. Just in relation to the people, I just want to ask the manager, maybe he'll come back when we're all finished. There are several existing flat complexes.